Again, and y'all need to fill in, and Hill can fill in. We could spend many sheer amount, a few. We'll try to squeeze. We'll see how much we could do. If we could do it in two, that would be great. If we could do it as much as we have with the highlights in one. But again, we're not going to be going in-depth in terms of the background and the Rishonim and the discussion of the postgame behind. We're going to try to do as much halacha l'maaseh as we can, just to review, because some of us might not have gone through these inyanim in-depth since our bar mitzvah. And it's a mitzvah that we do every single weekday of our life. So it's something crucial. Hopefully we did it before our bar mitzvah. Either way, it's a crucial limud that one should go through. So we'll go out basically, I'll say to our Shulchan Aruch, again, there's a lot of background, there's a lot of lumdus regarding fill and how many mitzvahs we pass. There's two mitzvahs, two of the 613. There's a lot to talk about in general, but let's just talk about halacha l'maisa for now. Beginning of Simin Chav Hei, that's where the Shulchan Aruch starts off, Hilchos Tefillin. Acha shalava tatalis mitzuyat yaniach tefillin. So first of all, if somebody wears a talis comes first before tefillin. Right, why does the talis come first? Right, so one might say it's also tadir she'eno tadir, talis we wear every single day of our life. And tefillin is not worn on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hopefully we'll get there. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a different reason, though. Ma'alin Bakodesh. Ma'alin Bakodesh. Unusual usage of Ma'alin Bakodesh. There are two cheftesh al mitzvahs. So I'm putting on tzitzis, that's a mitzvah. I'm putting on tefillin, that's a mitzvah. But if I put on something with even more kedusha, so then that is the kiyum of Ma'alin Bakodesh. We paskin that this is only a din l'chadchila. Let's say somebody wears a talis, but picks up their tefillin first. Then you put on your tefillin, because the principle of Ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvos overrides Ma'alin Bakodesh. Therefore, if somebody has a talis, and Bez Hashem in a couple of years, you'll all have a talis, the halacha is that you should try to put your talis in the bag in a way that the talis comes out first. So that's why you put it, because Ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvos. The other, just to foreshadow for a minute, if I picked up the Shel Rosh before I picked up the Shel Yad, we do not paskin Ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvos and you put on the Shel Rosh. Then we would put down the Shel Rosh and have to be Ma'avir, because the din of Yad before Rosh is Le'ikuva. Right? You can never have your Shel Rosh on without your Shel Yad. So there we would say that Ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvos, okay, what could I do? I have to be Ma'avir on the Mitzvos. But when it comes to talis and tefillin, we would not. But it's a din l'chadchila, we should try to be ma'alin b'kodesh. Good, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Tzrich lizor shelo yaniach kos tefillin b'lamala, kadesh shelo yifka b'hem tchila, and you would have to put the talis down. Good. Mishu zar b'talis katan, and shesif beis, yil b'shenu yaniach tefillin b'beiso, v'yelach lobish b'tzitzis u'muchta b'tefillin b'tachneses, v'sham yitazi b'talis gadol. There is an idea of coming into shul with one's tefillin on. There are those that are mocked about this. In the days of old, they used to wear them from their home and walk to shul with their talis and tefillin. That's not so common, bizman hazeh, but there are still those that are makbid to put it on outside and then go inside. Mu'utav u'muchtar. I'm ready when I go in. Right? The Mishnah Berurah quotes earlier that, we say the beginning of Matovu, at the beginning, right when we're outside of shul, Hanibro chastacha, avo beisecha. And we walk into shul by saying avo beisecha, and we're ready. Right, we're not going to shul with our jacket on, take it off and put it on. Again, it's hard if you keep your talis until in shul. So then you go inside, and then you take it out, and then you put it on, and then go back. Most assume that that's not done. But if there's a kiyum, if you're ever going into a shul and you have your tefillin, it's a kiyum to put it on outside and then walk in. The Shulchan Aruch does quote the Rush. The Rush says that you put on your tefillin when you say the words, Oter Yisrael B'Sifara. Right, stop in the middle of Berachas HaShachar. That's not our minhag. But at least the Mishnah Berurah quotes that we put on tefillin beforehand, but when we get to Oter Yisrael, Oter Atar is like a crown, he's supposed to at least touch your tefillin. Some even say touch yarmulke. But Oter Yisrael b'Sefara, to touch the tefillin, be memashmesh, as we were memashmesh a number of times during davening, to be memashmesh the tefillin when we say Oter Yisrael b'Sefara. The Shulchan Aruch talks about kavana. Special kavana that one has to have when putting on tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch hardly ever talks about kavana by mitzvos. Very not often. Right? Very unusual. Talk about the kavana you're supposed to have when you eat matzah. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about the kavana. That's for the machshavas farm. Right? Mitzvah saying tzrichas kavana, tzrichas kavana. But here the Shulchan Aruch point, it says it. So this is we mentioned this probably before Yantif. This is the Bach in Hilchos Sukkah. The Bach in Simin Tafresh Chafei in Hilchos Sukkah notes that there are three mitzvos, which he calls the three lama'an mitzvos, where he says, because the Torah itself says, do the mitzvah so that, dot, 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 kavan is ma'akev by these mitzvahs. Right? And that's what the Bach says, sukkah, and tzitzis, and tefillin. The Torah says, Laman, do the mitzvah so that, by sukkah, Laman, yedu darazeichem, kiva sukkah toshavti, yedu the sukkah so that you remember, you wear tzitzis, Laman, tizkaru, you wear talis, or tzitzis, Laman, when you wear tefillin, Laman, tiyataras Hashem b'ficha. It reminds us somehow and connects us to all the mitzvahs. That's why Dafka here, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a special kavana. If one gets the shul in time, it's nice to say the hinini, mechavin, banachas tefillin paragraph before one puts on tefillin. Because that talks all about the beautiful bracha, the beautiful kavana. My mind is connected to Hashem, and my heart is connected to Hashem. So if one's late, they're not. But it's a good. If you don't want to, be kabbalistic, you can skip the first line. L'shem Yichud, right? I don't think the Nozbi Yichud would have any problems with the rest of it, right? But the Nozbi does. But L'shem Yichud, okay, kabbalistic. But it talks all about the kavana you're supposed to have. So if, either way, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shetzivan HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'aniach HaResh Zeh L'shem Yichud Shmo V'Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's all about the Kavanas. So we should try to think about these as much as we can. Good. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues. Here, the Yaniach Shel Yad Tchila V'Yavarech L'aniach Tfilin. V'Yachar Yach Yaniach Shel Rosh V'Lo Yavarech Kiim Bracha Achas L'Shneihem. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, one bracha. One bracha for the Tulin Shel Yad and the Tulin Shel Rosh. That is the shita of Rashi and the Rambam and the Rif and the Vilna Gaon. They all pass in one mitzvah on tefillin. So Machlokas had to understand the Gemara in Menachos. They hold that there's only a bracha on the Shel Rosh if I talked by mistake, or not by mistake, between the Shel Rosh and the Shel Yad, and the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, then you have to make another bracha on the Shel Rosh. But Lechatchila, Svardim, hold like this, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, there's one bracha on tefillin. The Ramah Paskins like Bali Tosis, Rabbeinu Tam, two brachas. One bracha on the Shel Yad, one bracha on the Shel Rosh. If I talked in between, then I make both brachos. I have to repeat the bracha and make two brachas on the Shel Rosh. That's what we, it's not like, oh, there's one bracha per mitzvah. No, there's two brachas on tefillin. So the Ashkenazim make one bracha on the Shel Yad, one bracha on the Shel Rosh. If you talk, you have to make both brachas on the Shel Rosh. That's the machlokas, haposkim, as we know. The Ramah continues and says, that's the minhag of Ashkenaz. V'tov lo mar tamid achar habracha ashniya baruch shem kavod malchus olam v'ed. And it's a good idea, says the Ramah, to say baruch shem after the bracha on the Shel Rosh. Where does that come from? When do we ever say baruch shem? If you ever make a bracha shem esricha. If I say a bracha levatal, a bracha shem esricha, then I say, oh, baruch shem kavod malchus olam. So the Ramah says, because the second bracha is kind of extra, according to some opinions, you say baruch shem. It doesn't really mean it's extra, because if we really were worried about it, we wouldn't say the bracha. You never say a bracha and then say baruch shem. Really, the Ramah Paskins are Rabbeinu Tam. There are two brachas. Two brachas. But we have cover for the Rambam. We have cover for the Rambam and the Rif and the Rashi. Those are three, that's a big, that's a bezdin, right? That's three big guns. And therefore we have covenant if we say baruch shem. But the Mishnah Berurah screams and says there are many people that don't put on tefillin correctly. What do? They go like this. We'll get to where to put the tefillin and how to do it, but they put it on their head. And then they get it in place. You can't say baruch shem too early, because then you lose the bracha. As we're going to get to, you put the tefillin on the head, you say the bracha of al mitzvot tefillin, then you get the tefillin in the right place, and then you say baruch shem. You got to wait a few seconds. You can't say baruch shem right after the bracha, because then you really undermined it, and then there was no reason to make the bracha. And if you forget baruch shem, it's also okay. Right? It's not the biggest thing. We paskim maker didn't need two brachas, and therefore one should make sure that they pause in the middle. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Bizor ma'od shalom baruch shem rach achar shi'adik ha'shel rosh karaui ba'olam nichshalin baza." Says the Mishnah Berurah, the world is nichshal on this because people have to say they have to say baruch shem. You say it right after you make the bracha, and then you lose. You can look in the Aruch HaShulchan here. He has a very fascinating, creative, different shot of baruch shem kavod. Like tefillin is like Shema. So just like by Shema we say Baruch Shem, so to tefillin we say Baruch Shem. They're both Kabbalas and Malchus Shemayim. Feel free, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about that. The Shulchan Aruch continues. Im paga b'shel rosh tchila tzarech lahavir al osa mitzvah. As we said before, if I picked up the shel rosh first, I have to put it down. V'yaneh shel yad tchila v'achar shel rosh, because the tefillin shel yad comes first. Which has more kedusha, the tefillin shel yad or the tefillin shel rosh? They have the same parshios in them. All right, which has more kedusha? Shel Rosh has more kedusha. Why? It's got two shins. It's got two shins on the sides that already have two extra letters to more kedusha. Right, more kedusha. Tefillin Shel Rosh has more kedusha technically than the Shel Rosh. If you want to make one into the other, you can make a Shel Rosh into a Shel. You can make a Shel Yad into a Shel Rosh, but not the opposite, because the Shel Rosh has higher kedusha. Where does this come up? It comes up sometimes if people have those tefidanits. right? You have the other, not the tillin bag, but the army things. So you have to put one on top of the other. So not only, let's say, you put the shell roshin first because you want that to be on the bottom to take the shell yad out first. But it's a good idea, I guess I'm a akev, it's a good idea when you just have the tefillah, just put it down sideways because the shell rosh has more kedusha. So if you put it standing up, the shell rosh is on the bottom. So somebody has that tillin container, so then one would put it down sideways because it has more kedusha. But again, the shell yad is always put on before the shell rosh. Good, it says the Shulchan Aruch. Tivches. Kala mitzvahs mevarech alein over lasiyasan. Over lasiyasan. As we know, every mitzvah has to be done over lasiyasan, right before the mitzvah. So what's the mitzvah? V'chol tzarech levarech ala tefillah shel yad. Achar anach ala kiboris kodim kshirasan. Kshirasan zu lasiyasan. We don't paskin like Rabbeinu Eliyahu in Tosfos. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says you have to tie your tefillah knot every day. We don't paskin that that's the mitzvah. We paskin, you can keep that knot on your tefillin, keep the straps tied to the box, and uksharta means wrapping it on your arm. Right, that was machlokas. In Seder Hadoros, which is a sefer from the 1800s, it's a sefer of like an encyclopedia. It goes through all the Tanoim, Avoroim, Rishonim, it goes through up until his generation, and he has a little paragraph about each each opinion. So he quotes that there was a machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Elio at a machlokes, that's telling you tefillin every day. And this is the entry that made the sefer famous. And there was a machlokes. Rabbeinu Tam is arguing with Rabbeinu Elio. Rabbeinu Elio says that no, you have to tie it every day. And Rabbeinu Tam says no. Moshe Rabbeinu told me that no, you have to tie it. I'm sorry. He's arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it was. Moshe Rabbeinu holds like Rabbeinu Eliyahu. And Rabbeinu Tam's arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu. No, the Torah that Hashem gave you to give me this is how you understand it. It's all Chlokes. So the Sefer Doros is in the 1800s. So the story goes that when he was going around Europe to get Askamas for the Sefer, he brought it to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik had this great Sefer. If you have to take out that page, it's Apikarsis. I'll give you Askama, but that page is Apikarsis. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Emes, it's Rasa Emes. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. So the story goes as when he got back, he said, fine. So he didn't take out the page. When he got back to the publisher, it was ready at the print that he couldn't take it out. So he just put in the Haskama without taking it out. I don't know. But if I have a Seder Doros at home, so I don't know. There's no note about any type of the story. The way I heard Rav Shaklis say the story is that the Haskama had a note that, you know, he gave me Haskama, but he just said that this page is not Picarsis. But I didn't see that in my version. And there's a footnote in one of the Shirim Zechar Abamari, which he says this line, Seder Adoros, but, you know, this can argue Moshe Rabbeinu. But it was about this issue, about the kshira of the tefillin. But we paskin, you don't have to tie your tefillin every day, you just have to put it on every day. When do we make the bracha? Right before we tighten it. Because that's the mitzvah. So not while we're wrapping it up on the arm, not when we're, like, getting our sleeve. Right before we tighten it, not after we tighten it. Not while we're putting the straps around. You can, but that's already, you want to get it right before the mitzvah. So you put it on the arm right before where it's going to go, right where it's going to go. Lahania tefillin, tighten it, and then start wrapping. Right before the mitzvah, that's what we do. And also the shel rosh. When is the shel rosh? When is right before the mitzvah? We don't want to do it too early either. So the post, while it's up in the air, it's still too early. You put it on your head before you get it into the right spot. Then you make the bracha. And then you get into the right spot, and then you say Baruch Shem. Right, so that's right before the bracha, but not too early. That's how we get over Lasiyasan for the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. As we said before, the brachas of Tefillin are two brachas, according to Ashkenazim, or even one for Sephardim, on both Tefillins. That's why one's not allowed to talk. One's not allowed to talk between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, even for Yehei Shmei Rabbah, even for Kedusha, nothing. Nothing. One is not allowed to be mafsik. So once you time, if I know they're about to say kedusha, I shouldn't start with the shel yad yet. Halavai, we're not supposed to be putting on our tefillin when we, you know, when they're saying kedusha. But let's say by kaddish. That's what comes up. But if I know they're about to say yeshmei rabba, then I may actually wait before I put on my tefillin in order to answer yeshmei rabba. But I'm not allowed to be mafsik. Good. Yud aleph. Achar shekasha shel yad al azroa. Once I did that, Yaniach Shel Rosh Kodem Sheyichroch Haritzua Saviv HaZroa. Right? There's different minhagim about you're not allowed to have any hefsekim. The ritzuos, the straps that we put on, we do seven, Alpi Kabbalah. So all of that is not needed for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is when it's tight on my arm. So the question, I can't be mopsik with anything. So how am I allowed to like do all these straps? That's why you might see some people just do like two straps and then just put on your shel rosh. Our minug is to, most minug is to do the straps because that's part of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah. It also helps the tefillin stay in place, right, if it's tie-ins. But we don't do the fingers. We don't do the fingers. Maker, I didn't, we don't have to. I think Rav Soloveitchik had a minute of doing the fingers also. Again, most don't do the fingers because that's not needed. That's also, you make a shin, but it's all the seven is all based on minog and Kabbalah. But again, that is why we don't do the hand until afterwards, at least something. We wait till afterwards to have the hefsek. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch says here. You wrap it. You shouldn't take the shel rosh yad until the tefillah shel yad is in place, and have to make sure that that is true. Yeah.
Some people like wrap it around as if they're
yeah, that's just to hold it in place. Hold it in place. I think it's okay. Not fun. Good. Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if I put on tefillin more than once a day? When does that come up? So Sfarad put it on by mincha on a fast day. There is a mystery. There's a mystery. We don't wear tefillin all day anymore. I don't know until and all day. I gave a shiur about this a couple of days ago. Came up in the daf. But why? Because we can't keep a clean head. We can't keep a clean body. Why don't we watch tefillin on by mincha? Like we're concentrating by mincha. You know, it's a tircha gedola, whatever it is. But we don't. We don't. But let's say Rav Sternbach, I think, wonders about this. Why don't we watch tefillin by mincha? It's like we're focusing and there's no hazakadas. We shouldn't because now it's yuara. And one shouldn't put on tefillin stam if nobody else is. But let's say somebody puts on tefillin in a second. Let's say somebody goes to the bathroom, right, and then has to put tefillin on again. So, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. When do you have to make a new bracha on tefillin? So if it's what we might call a small bathroom stop, you should try to go to the bathroom before the davening. If it's a small bathroom stop, it could be that technically you probably could have kept your tefillin on. Gemaras and brachas that Daf Yomi is doing now talk about this. Technically, one is just gonna be a mashim erag liyam. It could be you could have kept your tefillin on, so you probably would not make a new bracha when you put that on. It's not called a hefsik. But if somebody had a serious bathroom stop and then had to come back, so at least the first bracha. According to my again, there's a discussion how many, but probably you have to at least make lahaniach again. But again, one would go through the same motions. I would probably not make the second bracha because again, the machlokas slavik lahakel. Again, the discussion in the poskim. But again, that would one would make a new bracha because just like any mitzvah, if I stop doing and I do it again after a hefsik, so then I would make a new bracha.
Just because if you have it on, so you're able to maybe use the restroom. But if you do take it off, so then
I'm saying, but because halachically you didn't have to, so then it might not be called a hefsek. If you had in mind, I'm taking it off, I'm going to put it back on in 5 minutes, I'm just going out, so it might not be called a hefsek hadas. Even though physically, if you go out of a sukkah and you're coming back 5 minutes later and you have in mind when you go out of the sukkah that you're going to come back to the sukkah, you wouldn't make a new bracha on the sukkah. Again, it's a ma'isa mitzvah with a hefsek. If I went out of the sukkah and I did something that I'm not allowed to do in the sukkah, so then, you know, that could be different. Yeah. If everybody would do it, then it wouldn't be yor anymore. You know, if you're Rav Nevenzal, then you could do it. But but I'm saying, if somebody is known as a chassid me'ula and they've been doing it all their life, and but again, until this behavior changes, then one person can't take it on upon themselves. Again, in the Talmidei Agra, the yeshivas in Yerushalayim that follow the Graz, they wear tefillin all day because that's the minhag in that place. But if you're in a place that doesn't do it, then you know that gets into mechsik yora. Again, a separate topic. It's a mystery. It's a mystery why we don't do it by mincha. That's Chazal. Once they knocked it out, they knocked it out. They must have thought, and we're so busy during the day, he's quite bizarre for the tefillin, we're going to take it to games, to business meetings, to this. You know, just probably better off not to.
What about an Ashkenazi on a fast day?
An Ashkenazi on a fast day? If you're Ashkenazi, you should not do it. If you're in a Sephardi shul and you're the only guy there without tefillin on, okay, maybe that's something to talk about. But otherwise, you can't just say, oh, that's cool, I'm going to start that minhag. You know, that's it might be cool, but we can't just like play around with them, hug them because we like one and the other. Okay, where exactly does tefillin go? Simen Chav Zayin in the Shulchan Aruch. So just to review, as we know, it goes on the inner part of the muscle on the on the upper half of the upper arm. Magamad Atzeril Yad Bezro small, so that when we put our arm down, it's facing our heart. It's next to our heart. Even though, you know, if somebody is a lefty, they put it on their right arm, and that's not facing the heart, because the heart's on the left side, but still, that's good enough for the same general area. Just parenthetically, the 32nd Musar part of the day. Isn't the right always more chashuv? So why is Hashem make our hearts on our left side of our body, and not on our right side of our body? Because it's on the right side of the person you're looking at. That's what you have to focus on. A Jew's heart, a person's heart, is always on the right side of the person you're looking at. So that's the heart that you have to focus on. Anyway, we continue. So again, that the Shel Yad is in that spot. The Shel Rosh is the one that sometimes is not exactly in the right. So sometimes the Shel Yad, sometimes you see people with the Shel Yad facing out. You know, you have to have it in. By the way, parenthetically, it's not our job to go over to any adult in shul and tell them about their tefillin spot. You know, if the rabbi wants to say something, if the gabbai, it's not a job of a younger generation person, even if it's totally wrong. It's not our job. They don't want to hear it. And it's just yathas chara b'efseido. But that's the shel yad. But the shel rosh sometimes wants to make sure that the entire tefillin box is above the hairline or where the hairline used to be. Right, so it has to be the above the hairline, and the knot is right in that crevice in the back. Sometimes the shel rosh is too big, and therefore it's hanging, and you get it too low in the back. It happens sometimes. One should go, just make sure to go to somebody who knows, and can make it a little smaller. Sometimes after it's made smaller, it feels like it's going to fall off, but you just get used to it. You get used to it, then you just got to make sure it's above the box is above the hairline in the front and in the back. You feel underneath, there's like a little notch. Right underneath where the bone is in the back of the skull. Now that's where the knot is of the shel rosh. Yeah.
If you borrow,
you got to find it. It's very. You don't want to mess around with somebody else's tefillin. Right. That's. Are you allowed to borrow tefillin without asking? That's a good question. Sitzeliezer says a talus you can. It doesn't go right on your body. Tefillin is a little more tricky. Goes mamish on your body, you might sweat in it, you might, mess up the knot, because even if you stretch it, he's less, more hesitant in terms of that. You got to try to be careful with it. I would, you got to find somebody who has your, at least close to head dimensions. Yeah?
Or can you at least just hold it in place for, like, as you make the bracha?
You can, but you like to always fill in with, for saying, Ol Shema, at least, in order to be made as a sheker. So I want you to try to have it in the right place. There are different minhagim about whether one has a dalet or a double dalet in the back. Different minhagim. Whatever one does is okay. Rav Soloveitchik was strong for the dalet. Sam Sofer quotes the double dalet, meaning the box. But either way, one should just follow their custom. It's Shem Hashem, Shin Dalet Yud. Right? You have Shin on the box. You have dalet in the back. And you have Yud on the Shel Yad.
So why
is there a double? There's different mesoras. Everything about tefillin is halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Black, square, how it looks, shins. One shin is four, one shin is three. Everything about tefillin is halacha Moshe B'Sinai. It's fascinating that the tzedukim, wear the tefillin between their eyes. Right? How do you know what tefillin looks like? How do they know anything about tefillin? They take one pasuk and they say, oh, it's between your eyes. You have no idea what tefillin look like. You obviously believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, so why do you pick and choose? Right? So you can't know any mitzvah without any Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay. Viter, Iter Yad, a lefty. I'm sorry, before that, we skip. Dalit. Lo yedavar chotzeit bein tefillin lebasaro. There can't be any chatzitza between the tefillin and the basar, and the flesh of a person. Just like there's chatzitza by tevila, there's chatzitza by netilas yadayim. Right? If you have a band-aid or a ring on your hand, there's chatzitza by tefillin. So shel rosh, for sure, is chatzitza. Can't be anything. Let's say Ramosha has a tshuva. What about if somebody wears a toupee? Is that a problem? Yes, it is a problem. Ramosha says, put on tefillin at home with a bracha, without the toupee, then you can go to shul if you're embarrassed, and then wear it on top. Don't make a bracha. If somebody has hair that was whatever, glued on or whatever way that you now it's part of you, then it's part of you. That's not a bracha. But it can't be on a hat, right? What about very long hair? There is a kisa Shulchan Aruch that says very long hair could be a chatzitza. The poskim generally don't understand that because your hair is your hair. They said maybe if you have like one of these like rolls and it's like sitting on top, like a bounce, like in front, maybe that would be a problem. It's not on your head. But pashtus, long hair is long hair, but it's not a chatzitza for that. But shel yad is the machlokas rishonim. Whether there is chatzitza on the shel yad, and what does chatzitza mean? We're not talking about maker din, we're talking about the box. The straps, is a lower level, and it could be that there's no issue of chazita by the straps. That's an issue about wearing your watch, not wearing your watch. But the box is the ikar b'chazita. There are those that are very. There are some that have the minhag of dafka putting a strap underneath the box. Right, according to other poskim, that's very problematic. Because there can't be, at least the box has to be total, like, you know, how many straps do you do above the elbow? Right, so sometimes you have a strap underneath the box. So that could be a chatzitza. You want the box to be fit perfectly on your skin. Again, if somebody has that family minug, just research it to make sure it's really a family minug. Groups wrap in different ways, but one should be careful about that if one has that issue. Good. Eater, yeah. Wet hair. So wet hair is not a chatzitza, but it could ruin the tefillin. It could warp them. If you're a morning shower guy, you have to make sure that you dry your hair very well before. If it was raining outside, you have to, that's just parenthetically, you got to take care of your tefillin. Always keep it in a safe place, a dry place. I remember 1986. I was on a summer program here in Israel, Stechem, in 1986. And I remember we were in Eilat, and it just made such an impression on me. We came at, I don't know, it must have been like 125 degrees, boiling hot, and we came back to the bus. Somebody left their tefillin on the bus. If it's not 125 degrees, it's okay. You leave your tefillin on the bus. But somebody came back to the bus, and one of the tefillins melted. Momish, like the box was like, not a box anymore. It was like so scary. But anyway, so you have to take care of your tefillin. You can't leave him in, 90 degrees is not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. But it was on the bus, which is probably double. Anyway, take care of your tefillin, no wet hair, and don't put it in the freezer or don't put it in the oven or anything. A lefty, iter yad. So a lefty, as we know, the Gemara darshins, that we put tefillin on the weaker hand. Why? There are messages, but ultimately, there's a kazev, yad kea, we put it on the weaker hand. Sometimes it's a little tricky how to define the weaker hand. I have two boys. We'll see about the third, but I have one as a righty. The next two boys are both in this category. Their stronger arm is their right arm. They throw righty, they shoot righty, they whatever, they're stronger, they lift righty, they eat, but they write with their left hand. And they eat cereal with their left hand. So that is four different opinions in the postgame. What do you do? Rav Devenfeld says, both. Do one and then do the other at the end of davening. Why is it so important to know? Because if you put tefillin on the wrong arm, you're not yotze. It's not like, you know, it's okay for the evet. You're not yotze if you put it on the wrong arm. But many poskim, I think they're the Vilna Gaon and others poskim, that if you do anything else besides write, what's the issue? The issue is that writing might be more important and have more weight than other activities. I don't think they weighed how do you shoot a ball. You know, that wasn't like one of the ways that they, but how, what's stronger? So the postgame seem to say, at least most, if the writing hand you also do anything else with, you brush your teeth with your writing hand, you do anything else, so that writing hand is called your stronger arm. And you put tefillin on the other arm, which happens to be your physically stronger arm, but that's called your weaker hand for tefillin. And that seems to be the consensus of most. Again, it makes a great bar mitzvah speech if that's the issue. But then that's that. But again, that's generally the weaker hand. You can't, again, just switch. I remember I was giving shiur about this, 10 years ago or so in a different yeshiva, and I was talking about this, and this guy from the back was like staring at me. And after shiur, he's like, Rabbi, he's this case, but he's been putting it on his other hand, right? He's putting it on his writing hand. I'm like, I don't know. I said, go ask the Rosh Yeshiva. When the Rosh Yeshiva, he agreed. So I'm like, he said, okay, I have to go to the store for change. I'm like, right now, you have mitzvah tefillin today. You know, so put it on right now. He's like, what, I didn't do tefillin for my past 5 years? I'm like, you a yotze according to Deus. It's fine. Yishvim alismach. But again, right now, to do the lechadchila, you know, you have to put on tefillin right now. Put on tefillin right now, so at least until you get it switched. That's what one should do. There was a hand up in the back. Yeah.
Next,
okay, the different deos about how to do the krichos and the dalid. What else could we talk about? Oh, galui and mechuse. So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, the shel rosh has to be revealed, has to be galui. right? Based on the pasuk in Kisavo, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'Yar B'Mekla Ilus Olnishep Rosh. It has to be visible. Again, it doesn't mean if, like, for a few minutes during when you're davening, if you have a talus over your head and it's covered, you know, it's okay. It has to be visible. Shel Yad is Mechusa. Can be Mechusa. Some say it should be Mechusa. That's why the Shel Yad is on the arm, and the Shel Rosh is not. The Ramah says, U'b'Shel Yad Ein La Hakvid Im Gluyim HaMechusim. That's the language of the Ramah here at the end of Simen Chav Zayin. Right, even though, you know, wearing tefillin is a sign of independence in the days of the Gemara, if an eved wore tefillin, that might be a sign of shichrur, but as long as that, we're not so machmir about these things. Yeah?
Why do some people that have two
tefillin
on the shoulders when they cover
and
when they open?
With two tefillin shel roshes? Yeah. We'll talk about it, hopefully.
So if someone wants to wear a top and a said during davening, you should try not to...
Wear the talus on his head. It should be visible from in front of you.
Meaning you could cover the top.
You cover the top. Correct. Correct. You cover the top, just not in front of you. Okay, taking off one's tefillin. Simen Chav Ches. Simen Chav Ches. When do we take off tefillin? Yachayev Adam Lamash Veish Tefillin B'chol Shah. First of all, we should be aware of our tefillin when we're wearing them. Right, and that's why there are different times of davening, minhagim, that when we touch our tefillin. Try to mosei adecha, poseich es yadecha, whatever your minhag is. Whenever to touch, because it's just to keep our eye on the tefillin. When we take off our tefillin, we take off our shel rosh first, because the halach is, the tefillin shel yad always has to be on first and last. You shouldn't have your tefillin shel rosh on without your shel yad. And therefore you take off the shel rosh first. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an idea, take off your tefillin shel rosh with your weaker hand, as if to show it's hard for me to take off my tefillin. So, which basically means with your tefillin hands. So it shows that, you know, I don't really want to take off my tefillin, but we just have to. One should not take off their tefillin during Kaddish or during other things when we should be davening. There is a big discussion in the postkim. We'll talk about this here. I guess we'll talk about it here because I don't know if I'm going to get to it later. Those who wear two tefillins, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. What's the difference? Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Order of the parshios inside. There are many different shittos in the Rishonim. We know there are four, the Torah talks about tefillin four times. So those four parshios have to be in your tefillin. But what is the order that is supposed to be in your tefillin? Is it the order it's written in the Torah? Or is it called what's called havayos be'emsa? The vahayas go in the middle. And however you figure it out, the order, is that the order for the omed or is that the order for the roeh? Right, even if you come up with the right order, so is it the right order for the one wearing it or the right order for the one viewing it, as if you would be viewing? So there are many, that's the Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. And there are others. The Vilna Gaon said if you really wanted to figure out all the permutations, there'd be a lot more tefillin you have to wear. So just wear one. But anyway, that's Machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, Yirei Shamayim, right, somebody who's Muchlik b'Chasidus could wear it. Again, in Bizman Hazeh, right, Chasidim all with tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. There are many that have Chabad with tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. But again, there's a big discussion of that. The poskim, many poskim, Litvish poskim, I should say, and even non, screen, you want to wear tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam, that's fine, that's a chumrah. Make your din, we pass on like Rashi. Make your din, we pass on like Rashi. And therefore, don't lose the mitzvah. What does that mean? The Shulchan Aruch says later on that Rashi's tefillin, your tefillin should be on for a certain number of kadeshim and a certain number of kedushos, right, including the kadosh in Uvalat Zion. So you can switch your tefillin during Chazaras HaShatz. A, you're not supposed to do anything during Chazaras HaShatz. Even learning. You ever go see Chaim Kanievsky? He doesn't learn during Chazaras HaShatz. He follows along with the chazan with his finger. He follows along with the chazan. That's what we're supposed to do. Right? Even learning, but taking off, number one. Number two, you're losing the Rashi. So if somebody wants to do that, so then put on tefillin every time after davening. Right, Maker Adin, you know, one has to know that we pass on like Rashi, and it's a chumrah, but it can't be a chumrah to Asili De Kula. But again, I want you to keep the tefillin on until, you know, the end of davening, if it's possible. We shouldn't be doing anything when we daven or answering Kaddish. Minhag to kiss the tefillin when we put them on, when we take them off. That's the minhag here, too. Somebody wants to ask me, I think Rav Moshe talks about this also. What about kissing your tefillin shel rosh before you put it on? Because is that a hefsik? The bracha, because you already said you don't have to be mafsik at all. Sorry, Baruch. I think it's okay. It should be your worst of error. Okay. When's the time for tefillin? So we know the Zman HaNachasan is Misha Yakir. Right? Most mitzvahs of the day start at Netzach Hama, B'di'eved at Amud HaShachar, at dawn, but there are two mitzvahs that you can't do at dawn. Two mitzvahs that go by a later time, in between the time of dawn and sunrise, called Misha Yakir. When you can recognize between blue and green, between blue and white, right? Those two are tzitzis and tefillin. Right, that's why this time of year is a little tricky sometimes. Right, the Rabbi Yonah writes in brachas because those two have re'is associated with it. We're said re'is the most so by tzitzis, and the pasuk I quoted before by Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'Yarbi Mekha by tefillin. So those two have to do with re'iyah. That's why those two have to be put on only after Mishiyakir. Sometimes you have a very early minyan, so they'll put it on beforehand, and then when they get up to Yishtabach, then they'll make the bracha and be mamashmesh. So he needs to do that. Ramosha has a tshuva from Russia. There were these people that had to go to, for months, they worked in Siberia, wherever it was, and they went to work in the winter at 4 in the morning, and they came back from work, and it was pitch black. What do you do by tefillin? For months, Ramosha said you could put tefillin on before you go to work with the bracha. Ramosha Paskin. Because in this type of case, you know, it shows the shkachis are tefillin, and we only say it because you might fall asleep in them. Is Delilah really not tzman tefillin? But he wanted them to take it seriously. Again, we don't have time to go into it now, but that's a Ramosha in the first chalik of Igros Moshe, he talks about it. But either way, we put on our tefillin after Misha Yakir. Shabbat and Yontif, we do not wear tefillin. Why? Because Shabbat and Yontif are osos. And the Rishonim say, you always need two osos. Al pishnei edim yakum davar. So on a weekday, which mitzvahs are osos? Bris Milah, tefillin, Shabbos. So on a weekday, we have Bris Milah and tefillin. On Shabbos, we don't be mezalzel in the os of Shabbos and Yontif, so we don't wear tefillin, so we have Shabbos and Yontif and Bris Milah. To ask some machronim, so what if somebody doesn't have Bris Milah, should they wear tefillin on Shabbos? We have two osos. Cholamoid? Oh, major machlokas. Is Cholamoid an os or not? The Shulchan Aruch is charis based on the Zohar that Cholamoid is an os. You can't wear tefillin. That's the Minhag Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Vilna Gaon paskin. Right? No tefillin on Cholamoid. The Ramah is not so sure. And that's why the Minhag in some places in Chutz La'aretz, some do wear, some make a bracha al tznai. But either way, that's the issue, whether Cholamoid is an os or not. What does it say in Shas? That's a separate shir. Fascinating. There's nothing mefurish. Or is there? Ramosha Soloveitchik once Ramosha Soloveitchik once asked Reb Chaim, you know, maybe we should put it on just to be safe, just to be safe. He says, no, it's beferish. Read the Gemara; it doesn't say anything about tefillin. But Aruch and Daf Yud about Hala. But either way, some Achronim were convinced that it does say it in Shas. But either way, that's the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch goes through many halachas of writing tefillin that we're not going to go into right now. And halachas, that's the first place we talk about stam, sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah. But again, that we don't have to do that. That's siman lamed beis. That's the big siman about sofros. Good. With chayav and tefillin, obviously men are chayav and tefillin every single weekday. We should appreciate this mitzvah. Women are not obligated in tefillin. Not only are they not obligated, the Shulchan Aruch says, because they shouldn't do it. Why? It's risky. Women do Zman Grummas if there's no risk, there's no downside. Shake a lula of hair chauffeur. But here, men already knocked it down to only when they daven because they can't keep a goof nucky and a clean mind. But we have to wear it a minimum because ain't brera. To put myself into a situation of risk where there's a downside so that we don't, that's the Ramah. The Ramah says, if women want to put on tefillin, they shouldn't. That's the Ramah. So, the whole controversy that happened, whatever, a couple of years ago, it's a Ramah. You can't argue on a Ramah, and none of those Hakelim argue on the Ramah. The Ramah says don't do it, so you don't do it. But that's the that's tefillin, and for women, Tanim don't wear tefillin also, unless they, right, a month before, 3 months before, whatever the minhag is. But again, that's just getting ready to be margil themselves for the mitzvah. Yeah. First of all,
why do you do it like in private?
No, the Ramah says not to.
No, but just put it on and just say like crazy.
Doesn't matter, the Ramah says not to. I know, but once the Ramah says not to, the Ramah says not to. And again, I say, many of the people, the supporters of that, let's be machpid first on what we have to do and then what we want to do, right? And then if we're 100% perfect in all that we have to do, then we could choose something that we want to do. You know, so we have to do it. We have to do it. So we do the best that we can. But again, once the Ramah says it, there's, right, he's the He's the Bala Deya. Yeah.
Someone knows they can't keep Shabbos, then put on tefillin.
If anyone knows they can't keep Shabbos, no. No, once there's no tefillin on Shabbos, there's no tefillin on Shabbos. It's like, if they can only learn 5 minutes a day, what should they learn? Mussar or Gemara? Learn Mussar so you'll know there's more. So, just tell them to keep Shabbos. Anyway, but the, again, there's a lot of other, just general, other related halachas, relating to Kedushas Tefillin, Avel, other things. Just to end maybe with a story, there's, again, you're not allowed to sleep with your tefillin on. That's also important, even a little doze. If you see your friend dozing, give him a little nudge, right, when it's not allowed. Tefillin is serious about that. If you're holding it, okay, I'm saying, but if you're wearing, you know, if you're wearing it is a problem. Again, I had a Talmud, Rachman al-Tzlan, who was very ill years ago. And he was in the hospital, and he had whatever, he had a Foley, he had, you know, he goes to the bathroom, right under the bed, it didn't smell, it was covered, so he asked whether he had tefillin or not. He asked Rabbi Sabalevsky, and Rabbi Sabalevsky, after doing the research, again, we're not getting into the details, but he paskin, no. Paskin, he couldn't in this situation. Not paskin for everything. And he started crying. No tefillin. Tefillin should be so emotional to us. And we should we wrap ourselves with the ksav of Torah. It's unbelievable. We should appreciate the mitzvah. Appreciate it every single day. We do it. Hey, we're half asleep in the morning. We should appreciate the mitzvah. At least maybe once a week. Try to have kavana for that tini mechavein and have kavana for the tefillin. But again, it's a special mitzvah that we should be very cognizant of and do the best we can in fulfilling all of the pratim. Yeah. Can you eat with tefillin? Technically, there's no iser as long as there's no hetzach hadas. Yeah.
What about the ratim?
Whatever you do, whatever your minhag is, wrap out, wrap in, yeah. That's not ma'akev, unless you borrow somebody's tefillin. It's not ma'akev, even if you borrow somebody's tefillin to do the opposite of you, that's okay. Yeah.
The straps of the shalosh also have to be visible?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a box. Yeah.
What's the idea of having the black side like us?
The black side,
that's...
You see, that's the cover, that's the outer one. Now they have this new kind of like black on black. Post Gemara into that. I'm not saying it's wrong, but they don't think that it's a chumrah that you need to keep. Oh, so now it'll be black no matter what. There's the front part. There's two parts of the skin of the that they make the rituals from. So you should try to have that part out because the idea is black. It's all almost much we see now, so it should be straight. There's a Gemara that talks about flips, scary stuff, but it's but otherwise you have to be so just be as best as you can, keep it straight. Yeah.
Wearing tefillin
around Lachas Seder. I don't think that's nechshav, like wearing it all day. I think once, if you're learning right after davening, I don't think it's a problem to keep your tefillin on. Sometimes Rav Shechter used to keep his tefillin on for a couple, he davened in the Beis Medrash, and then he got to ask questions. So he got asked questions for 2.5 hours. So like it's like 11:15, he still has his tefillin on. But he's like, I didn't get to take my tefillin off, because people used to line up and just ask him questions. I remember sometimes living in the middle of Beis Medrash, like he still has his tefillin on, because he didn't get a chance, and he would never tell anybody, I'm going to take off, you know, I'll take off my tefillin. I mean, he would be somebody who wears tefillin all day, also. But anyway. Okay, shkai.